Today's a rather splendiferous sporting event. We have well over 100 million people that will tune in. 100,000 will travel to New Orleans or have. They expect the revenue in New Orleans to top $434 million. To have a 30-second spot on television today will cost you almost $4 million. And so the board decided a few months ago we're going to pass on that for Central. Think about it. Besides Thanksgiving, today is the largest day of food consumption in the year. It's this Sunday each year. The Snack Foods Association deems it the biggest snacking day of the year. 1.23 billion chicken wings, according to the National Chicken Council's 2013 wing report. How many love to be in that meeting? That'd be exciting. 15 million pizzas, according to Pizza Today, the industry's most renowned publication. 28 million pounds of chips, 3.8 million pounds of popcorn, 4.3 million pounds of pretzels. And I'm really excited to let you know about the avocado today, which a decade ago was a mere 8 million pounds consumed on this day, but now it's risen to 79 million pounds of avocados. That's about 158 million avocados. How many wish you owned an avocado farm today? And I love this. Antacid sales are expected to jump 20% tomorrow morning. That's what it says. Now, I personally shall not partake live in this because we have church tonight. So I need right up front just to ask all of you that are friends of mine and we text back and forth about sports and any of that, please, no text messages. I have a DVR. Let me spell that. DVR, okay? And so I will be recording. I will go home from the prayer service we have. I will be happy to be here tonight. And then I will go home all by my lonesome, and I will sit there and eat chips and drink stuff and watch the game tape delayed. How many of you feel bad for me? But you know, already in our daily reading through the Bible this year, and if you're just joining us, we are in a series called The Thread, and we are following the thread of God's story, but also a lot of us are reading through the Bible together. You'll note there in the bulletin, you can get a daily email if you'd like, and some of the staff, the pastors, we're just sending a little thought about that day's reading, but we'd love for you to follow along with us, even if you haven't begun, you've fallen off the wagon already, it's never too late to start. God is a God of grace. We are people of grace, and so why don't you just join in? We're just getting through Exodus, headed into Leviticus. Some of the most exciting reading you'll ever read is the book of Leviticus. There are points of reading through the Bible that are kind of hard, so get ready. This won't be an easy week, but hang in there. We will get through Leviticus. But as we're reading through it together, already I've had several that have asked questions about certain people and certain events, and they're wondering about things, and many of them are questions that Bible scholars and Bible students have to wrestle with and have for centuries. And it's a lot like today's game because it's a lot more complex than what we just see before us. In today's game, coaches will have headsets on, both on the field and up in the box. And both quarterbacks will have a little speaker in their ear, and they'll be able to communicate the coaches to the quarterbacks as they play each play. The aerial shots will be viewed, and they'll come between drives, and the offense and the defensive leaders will get together, and they'll look at aerial shots and figure out what each of the teams are doing against one another. The complexity of the game is so much beyond what you and I will see, many of you live, me tape delayed, did I mention that? But a few things you'll know. You'll know which offensive play worked and which didn't. You'll recognize which defensive stunt worked and what didn't. You'll see every first down. You'll know every score that's made, whether a field goal or a touchdown. We'll know the turnovers. You'll be able to sense when the momentum is shifting, which is always very important to a game. You'll see the ending score, all of that. But much like Joe Friday used to say, all I want are the facts, ma'am. And that's really all that you and I will get because the intricacies of an NFL game is so beyond what you and I see with the naked eye. And in the end, we'll know the score. The same is true, though, about Scripture and so much of life. The Bible just says it this way, that you and I right now, every one of us in this room, we see through a glass dimly, that we know in part, but then one day we will know fully. One day it won't be like we're looking at a mirror, looking through a glass. We'll be able to see everything clear as a bell. we will fully know even as we are fully known, it says. And we leave the garden last week with all kinds of questions. I'm sure Adam and Eve left the garden with a lot of questions. But we do know one thing, that we know is what we have to major on. And a lot of times we, as we read through the Bible, for example, we grab things and try to major on minor things, let it go. We want to major on what's really, really the important things. And in the end is to stick to what we know God makes very clear in His Word. I was just recently teaching an ordination class, and it's one of the things that I had for those young pastors is to challenge them, just stick to the Bible. And just stick to what is clear in the Word of God and don't get caught up. Paul said this to Timothy, with all the controversies and all the different things it could throw you, just stick to the basics of God's Word and preach and teach what is clear in His Word. And so as we leave off a week ago, we know one thing definitely. And that is that there's a once perfect couple that had lived in a once perfect land and they had walked with a perfect God and they were now living a very imperfect future. And they were banished from that perfect paradise, and Adam is now facing the terms of curse, and Eve as well, the own results of the fall. And then there's an evil serpent with a smirky victory and yet probably an anxious sense, because all of them leave the garden with a lingering word that God had spoken to that serpent. If you look to the screen again, it's verse 15 of your Bible. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her. Say it with me, if you will, out loud together. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This is more than a promise. This is a loaded threat. Okay, this was God letting Satan know that it's not game over, it's game on. It was God declaring to him, and we need to remember, as C.S. Lewis reminded my young mind when I was a teenager, that God and Satan are not on equal footing. That God is the creator of all things, including Satan. That Satan is a created being. And so that alone helps you and I understand. And I wish someone would have told me that years before that, because I remember in reading that, and I was recognizing that I had them very equal. I saw God and I saw Satan. I saw good and I saw evil. But I forgot to realize that Satan is not omnipresent, nor is he omniscient, nor is he omnipotent, but God is. And that God created all things. And so in the end, just like these two Harbaugh brothers today that seem to be battling it out, and they probably are pretty equal in talent and pretty equal in intellect and ingenuity and from a coaching family, how incredibly gifted they are. But it's not that way with God and this enemy that he's facing. And he lays out a promise here, and he's going to make good on that promise. And actually, really, the rest of the story that we're following, and this is only our fourth week of this incredible tapestry that God is laying out for us. The rest of that story, today's promise is in every bit of it from this point forward. Today's promise really that takes you and I back to last week's promise in Genesis 3. But today's promise in chapter 12 is woven from here now through Revelation. And we realize this morning's message and subject is so very, very important. And all it has to do with God, what he said to ashamed Adam and Eve, and to an evil serpent as they are cast out of that garden. But I want to ask you today, have you ever been there in your life? Have you ever had your dreams shattered? Ever wondered where God was or how he was going to make good on his promises towards you? And I'm sure as Adam raked into that hard earth and as Eve was bringing him a lemonade, I'm sure that they realized things have changed in our relationship. And they both probably thought back and wondered about that promise that God made there. So we read along in God's story, and we come here to Genesis chapter 12, but we've gone through then the horrific flood, and thank God for a man that God found who was righteous in the earth, a man by the name of Noah and his family. And then we move further along to Genesis 11, and we have man in a single language, and just there's a togetherness, there's a unity about man, and they're building a tower to the sky, and God says, oh no, this is not good. And so he scatters man, and he gives them different languages. And then we arrive to chapter 12. And the thread brings us to a single man in Mesopotamia here. Verse number 1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And we see here a promise-making, promise-keeping God, a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. And those of us of faith today, we base our faith on him, not on Abraham, because Abraham is as any of the characters in the story that God weaves, he's just a man. It's really God's story that we're focusing on. And as much as you hear me reference often, and I enjoyed a year ago as we walked through Hebrews 11, I love the stories of Scripture. I love the people of Scripture. But we have to realize in the end, it's not their story, it's God's story. And he's writing an amazing thread here. And his sovereignty is over all of it. And his grace is poured over all of it. And his patience is incredible. And his persistence that we read through it all is that he is going to follow through on his promise. And so first today we see the God of promise. And he's our main character in the story. And not only makes the promises, but he furthers the promises. And that's where we're at in chapter 12. Because Genesis 12 is actually a furthering of the promise of Genesis chapter 3. And it's furthered now through this one man, Abraham, and Abram, later Abraham. And Abraham is striking to you and I because he's a man just like us. As someone just emailed me this week, they were struggling with the sins of this man and say, why would God use this? Because already I see this and this and this. It's because we see the mark of Adam, as we looked at a week ago, in the life of Abraham, as we do in all characters, as we do with all of us. So the marvel of Abram here is what we call election or choice. And wrapped in God's choice then is God's grace. And look at how incredibly gracious God is to Abram. He says to this one man, I'm going to make through you an entire nation, and I will bless that nation. And that nation is going to bless all the nations of the earth. And whoever blesses that nation, I will bless. And whoever curses that nation, I will bring a curse. How incredibly gracious God is. The four times use the word bless or blessing. I'm sure Abraham asked that more than once. Why me, God? I'm sure he laid in his tent and kind of wiggled his toes at times and thought, why me, God? I'm sure he looked at the heavens and looked at all the people around him and wondered, God, why is it me? Of all these people, why me, God? And the truth of the matter is today, for no reason at all, at least not from Abraham's standpoint. It's because God in his sovereignty and his mercy and his goodness chose to say, Abraham, you're the man that I'm choosing. And how true that is of every single one of us here today. Have you ever wondered that this morning? When I hear Mark give the account of what's happening around the world and how many people, and I picture a man in Mecca, I wonder today, why isn't that you or me today? Why is it that we have the freedoms as Americans that we have that are diminishing, I might add, in a kind of a scary way? But how free we are. How is it that I'm not that man in Mecca that's clicking for the first time, that's responding to say, I'm interested? Why aren't I the one in Iraq that is saying, I know and I believe in Jesus, but if I really put my faith in him, I know that means certain death if anyone finds out. God's been awful good to us, hasn't he? Young people here today, you're like me. And Sister Hodge just came up to see the baby here on the front row. That's my pastor's wife from when I was a teenager. And I'm so thankful for people like her that planted God's word in my heart, including my own parents. And I'm glad that that is being passed on generation to generation. But you have to ask, why? Why me, God? Why us, God? And there's nothing about us. Oh, don't ever take credit for it. You have to realize it's out of the goodness, out of the graciousness of God that he has come to you and I and given us the opportunity to receive the blessings that we receive. And that's what it is. It's blessing. And actually, we are right here today. We are some of those that Genesis 12 was talking about. Seriously. Central Assembly, every time we gather for worship, every time we gather in a setting like this, we have to realize this goes all the way back through the thread to Genesis chapter 12 when God said to Abram that through you I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. See, Paul put it this way, that the scripture foresaw what was going to come. His statement there in Galatians chapter 3 is that it leans all the way to year 2013. It's wrapped up in the promise that goes all the way back to Genesis 12 to Abraham. Here's how Paul put it. Look to the screen. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So it all goes back to Genesis. And it's furthered through this amazing cast of characters. And as you'll read through the Bible this year, you will find all these, and it comes all the way to the birth of the church in Acts, all the way to year 2013 and what God is doing all around the world today, including right here in our hearts. It all goes back, Paul says, to the promise God gave to Abraham. All the nations, the Gentiles even, will be brought into this thing. And as you read through, watching this promise be furthered this past week, we read through Isaac and Jacob and then into the 12 sons and then to Joseph, and now we're into Moses this past week, and then we're going to move further on into David, and we're going to read all the way through, and we'll read through the incredible struggling nation of Israel. Where'd that nation come from? That nation came from Genesis 12 verse 3, from a promise that God gave to one single man, but it would further the promise of God and leading all the way to you and I today. And see, the promise is further to us so that it can be furthered even through us to others. Isn't that what missions is all about? Isn't that what the food pantry is all about? Isn't that what every time we gather together for church, what it's all about? Every time that we break bread, we proclaim, we preach the Lord's death until he comes. Isn't that what it's all about? Every time, every act of worship, everything we do as a church, to realize really what we are doing is we are furthering the promise that God gave to Abraham, that the Gentiles and Jew alike would come together in Christ and all the nations on the earth would be blessed. It's a promise that's being furthered. Second, it's a promise that's sustained. And this I'm just going to touch on, but next week we're going to look at this more in detail. But see, this promise is threatened over and over and over again. And I'm convinced the threat mainly comes through that serpent in the garden, because he does not like what he hears. And he hears that there's going to be one that will come that's going to crush his head, and he's going to strike at the heel. And so you see that the enemy of our souls is trying everything he can do. As you read through the Old Testament, he is trying to prevent that one from coming. He'll do anything. There's infanticide in Exodus. There's infanticide in the Gospels. Why? Because he was trying to stop this one from Abraham's seed. But God sustains the plan, and he keeps his promise, and he makes good on it, and he never lets go of what he said to Abraham that day, because it's history in the making. A key to the thread, though, is that it's, third, a received promise. And that's vital to our story. See, because Paul put it this way, Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Many of us have heard that many, many times. Think about it. Abraham believed, and so it was accredited to him as righteousness. It's the emphasis of faith, that we don't by works come to salvation, but it's by faith that we believe. And so Paul uses that phrase. Well, where's that from? That's from Genesis 15. Three chapters beyond our text today. Again, that's how it summarizes it. And God walked Abraham out that day, and he had him look at the stars in the sky, and he said, just look and begin to try to count them. And it was infinity. It was a number he could never in a million years figure out how many are up there. And God says, that is what your offspring will be, because we're part of that offspring today as people of faith. And it's so easy for you and I to say, well, I would have loved to be in Abraham's shoes. I would love to have taken hold of that promise, but you have to realize receiving the promise cost him something. It required him to leave his country, all that he'd ever known. It required him to leave his family. It required him to step out in faith on a journey that he did not know where he was even going to land, but he stepped out in faith, we just read. And the furthering of the promise and the sustaining of the promise first came with the struggle within this one man, Abraham, that he was willing to obey, because it didn't come easily. Nothing did. So we read chapter 15, and God reminds Abraham of what I'm doing, and he comes back again chapter 17. By that point, we've crossed 25 years, and God reminds him of what he's doing. God was sustaining. God was furthering the promise, and it wasn't yet fully realized, yet Abraham had to keep obeying, had to keep believing, had to keep trusting. Now, Abraham is a picture of us today. We are not saved by works, we are saved by faith. Faith in who? The promised one of Abraham, Jesus Christ. And so have you ever been there in your life where you know God has promised you something, or you read his word and you wonder, well, when is God going to make good on this promise? And you begin to doubt. And so we read Abraham as we go through so many of the characters of the thread, and we realize one aspect of faith is that we are going to sometimes have to wait for the fulfillment of the promise that God has made. Matter of fact, as of right now, all of us here, I could take up this mic that Tom uses, and I could just have us come through, and I bet one at a time, we could be here all day. We could miss the game tonight and just sit and talk about what God's done in our lives. Amen? How many of you want to do that? Let me see your hand this morning. That's overwhelming, so let's move on. But we could do that. We could have the mic right here, and we could allow you to come and stand. And each one, you could tell, here's what God promised, and here's what he's already made good on. But you know what? Everyone that would stand here would still say, I'm waiting for other promises that God hasn't made good on yet. Jesus is coming back. We're going to spend all of eternity with him. We're a little bit suspended, aren't we? Between the promises he has made good on and the promises that we're waiting on. That's what the walk of faith is all about, and that's what Abraham illustrates to us here in Genesis 12. If you do have your Bible, go on over to Romans 4, as I mentioned earlier, as I held a beautiful little baby in my arms. I don't know, did you guys catch that? Her name is Bentley. That was fun. But this moment for Abraham and subsequent journey is referenced all throughout the New Testament. 100 times almost we read the name Abraham in the New Testament. Say, why is that? Because this is an ancient day. He's a character from the very first book of the Bible. It's because of his faith. And here's the way he puts it in verse 18 there of Romans 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Look at that. Against all hope, Abraham believed. In hope, he believed, and so became the father of many nations. What an incredible, incredible thing. Where there is no hope, and I'm sure you know what that's like. I know what it feels. At times you feel, oh, I feel hopeless. But in that moment, in hope, he still believed. And it gives us our first premise, and I'm going to move rather rapidly through this. But our first premise is that God, the promise maker, is faithful, fulfilling his promises against all odds to his people. See, God is faithful. That's what Abraham's learning. And Abraham, as Paul goes on to say, verse 19, without wavering in his faith, what an amazing thought. He didn't waver. He held on. He believed. He held on to his hope. The furthering, the sustaining of that promise. It had to go through 25 years. That next verse, verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, that 99-year-old man surely cannot produce a child, and yet with God all things are possible. And I want you to see verse number 20. He says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave God the glory, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I want you to know what biblical faith is. Biblical faith is not you and I sitting, conjuring up faith. Oh, if I could just believe more. What could I do to believe more? Jesus said a mustard seed. You know what a mustard seed is? It just dropped, okay? That's a mustard. It just takes that much. It's not a matter of faith. Jesus said the smallest amount of faith. What matters is who we put the faith in. It's not that Abraham even believed the promise as much as he was believing. Look at what it just said. It says he was fully persuaded that God had the power to deliver on what he had promised. So Abraham wasn't hanging on to a promise. He was hanging on to the God of promise. Does that make sense? So when you and I at times in our lives struggle and we're hanging on, oh, but we're hanging to something here, we've got to lift up our eyes and realize who we're hanging on to is God. We are holding to the God of the promise as we hold on to our promise. And the key is that he received the God of promise. So let's bring it home this morning. Read on verse 23 and 4. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Let me read that again. The words, it was credited to him, they were not written for him alone, Abraham, but also for us. How many of you are in us this morning? Okay? Paul's talking about us. It wasn't just Abraham. It was us who what? It will be credited righteousness for those who believe him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. I believe. Some of those that click on 21:1 all over the world, they believe. And so we become partakers of Abraham's promise all over the world. So second, what God wants is people of promise, and I'll be brief with this. He wants people of promise today. That was his plan. Go back to the original promise. Through you, nations, through nations, the whole world blessed. Who did God have in mind? People, to have people of promise. And there's three aspects when we look at Abraham that we can look at our own lives, and that is about the promise, that we too need to hear the promise, receive the promise, and then persevere in the promise. And how sad, because we have some that hear the promise, but they don't receive the promise. That's heartbreaking. How many click on, Mark, your website, and then they don't go ahead and click on salvation? They don't go ahead and say, I do believe, but they do read, but they're hearing. How many a message of like this has been given, and people have walked out a door, and they've listened, they've heard, but they haven't believed. How many as well have believed, but then didn't persevere in the belief? Jesus gave that analogy of the seed that falls on four types of soil. That's why we have throughout the book of Hebrews, there are six major warnings about you and I, not just believing, but holding to our belief. It's why as you read in the book of 2 Peter, there is a sense there that you are not only saved, but you have to keep pressing in. You have to be persuaded and keep persevering in your faith. It's very clear throughout the New Testament. That's why we hear, we believe, but we have to persevere as well. Scripture even mentions people like Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander, specific names of people that Paul said have abandoned the faith. They've walked away from it. And the word means just to walk, it's gone in their lives. Abraham's an incredible picture for us, and I have a quote for you by Bruce Waltke if you want to look on the outline. But he says this about our faith, and I'll close. God's promises to his pilgrim covenant partners are not intended to bring quiet and repose. Suffering is a necessary part of the pilgrim's perfection. He says, were God's blessings given without suffering, the saint would confound morality with pleasure. Saints would serve God for what they could get out of it. Listen to what he's saying. See, if everything just became a bed of roses when you and I come to Christ, he says, there's going to be an issue here that we would just then do it just for what we're going to get out of it. He says, that's a system of ethics that's known as edemonism. By interrupting acts of faith from their rewards with hardships, God saves his people from selfishness and develops such virtues as faith and hope and patience and upright character. In other words, we have to persevere through a lot, just like Abraham did. In other words, the God of promise is also a God of providence. And so even as you and I read the story of Joseph, for example, a couple weeks ago, and you stand back amazed at what God did, it's that though Joseph served God, Joseph had to go through a lot of difficulties. We just commented about it in our staff prayer this week. Pastor Tom mentioned about it in the choir, and I mentioned about it in what we have here on tonight and this morning when we pray around the altars, is that there are so many needs in our church. People are going through difficulty. I stood with a couple in the early service and anointed them both with oil and prayer over their physical conditions, and they're wonderful people that love God, and they're in the prime of their life and wanting to serve him fully, and this is holding them back. But you know what? They're people of faith. And Waltke has a very strong point here, and it's our second premise, and then we'll wrap up. And that is that God, the promise maker, is providential, and he allows trials to come our way, confusing at times, but for the perfecting of his people. That's why anyone here, you're young in your faith, you're even young in your life, please don't grow discouraged when life gets difficult. We read it just today, one of those that written into Network 21:1 say, you know, this happened to my mom. Where's God? Was God there? Those are questions we all have sooner or later in life. But I tell you what, the God of providence, he is a God who is also the God of faithfulness. And he will carry you through. He will never let you go. Don't let him go. Just hang to him despite what you go through. We'll close then with what in the end is the thread and meme. And it's this. As God was faithful to Abraham, he will be faithful to me. And like Abraham, then I must obey his call, abandon myself, trust his providence, and follow him all the way to the land of promise. Abraham's a beautiful picture of every one of us here. That by faith, in hope, we believe. And you know what? We have to obey the call, abandon ourselves, trust his providence in our lives, and then follow him all the way to the promised land. The thread just took on a whole new dimension this morning. And you're going to see this promise woven all the way through this series. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you just two questions. One would be, do you believe the promise? Do you believe the promise? Not your neighbor, not your grandma and grandpa, not your mom or your dad, not your spouse or your best friend, but no, you. Have you received the promise? Say, what is that promise? Well, the promise to Abraham that extended all the way to all the nations and to the Gentiles is what? It's a promise that Jesus would come. Jesus Christ would come and be our Savior. Do you believe that today? Maybe you're here and you say, Jeff, I do, but I've kind of drifted. You're like one that was baptized today that says, I knew, but then I kind of fell away, and now I'm coming back to recommit my life. Maybe today is a day for you to take hold of the promise to Abraham and realize that relates to you. We are in the first book of the Bible, but it relates to you today. Is there anyone here with a hand right now raised? You just put up your hand and say, Jeff, today I want to avow my faith in Jesus. I want to profess Jesus Christ as the promise of God that he came and he died on the cross for my sins, and I want to be sure to receive him now, or maybe a recommitment of your life to him. Is there anyone here? You put up your hand right now and just put it down. Let me see it real quick. Like, you'll join those in the early service. Anyone today? Anyone? Just put up that hand. I see that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Yes, I see that hand. Is there anyone else today? Anyone else? You put up that hand. Hold it up. Just good for me. Just for a moment. I see that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Quickly, you just put up that hand. I don't want to miss anybody, but I thank God for these. Anybody else? You put up that hand. It's a response to God, but also as a church, we welcome you into the family of God today. We welcome you home today. Is there anybody else? I give just a moment longer. We'll close with a prayer. Anyone else? You put up that hand. Okay, let's pray together with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're just going to take a moment as a church family to pray with you. What a privilege this is. And everyone that's praying this around you, they've prayed this years ago, many of us, but we pray it today again. It's a wonderful moment. It's not a mantra. It's not something that is just a coined phrase or prayer, but we take scripture and we talk to God and we express faith in Jesus, and that's what we want to lead you to do. So would you pray with us out loud? You may say, Jeff, I didn't raise my hand, but inside my heart, I really want to. I want to know that I have the promise of God and I've received him. Then just pray with us now. Let's pray it all together out loud, everyone. Oh God, I believe in you. I have questions. I don't understand everything, but I'm trusting your Bible that tells me that you are good, that you gave your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I admit my sin, that I need help, and I believe you are my help. So please forgive me. God, cleanse me. Change my heart from the inside out, from this moment forward. And I turn from my sin, and I believe your promise in Jesus. Now, please help me. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Now, just before we, well, let's go ahead and stand, if you will. And before we leave here, I want to close with a prayer of blessing. And as I do, if you just keep your eyes closed as we go to pray, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to invite you today, if you would, to just take, there's a little card in front of you in the back, the seat right in front of you. There should be a card that says, my decision, my choice, today was the day. And if you raised your hand, even if you didn't, but you say, Jeff, today is the day I did this, I joined you in this faith, I'm going to invite you to take that card and fill it out. And on the Boonville side, even if you came in through Campbell doors, would you go to the other side, over to the Boonville side, and there's the connect room right there, connect room. And just go and talk to a pastor. There are people in there that would love to talk with you. And just give them that card. Say, today was my day. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as I pray a blessing, I want to challenge us all here today as a church to be reminded that this promise is for all the nations. And this promise to Abraham extends to us, Paul says, but it can't end there. And so we need to be inviting people to come to church with us. We need to be reaching out to a neighbor that doesn't know him. We need to realize they too can realize the promise to Abraham. But someone has to go. Someone has to tell them. And so as we close in prayer today, I'm going to pray a blessing over us that we will not only be blessed, but that we will be a blessing. Central Assembly as an entity, but Central Assembly as individuals today, that will be a blessing to let others know about what God promised and made good on through Abraham. Father, thank you for everyone who stands here today. Thank you for a good morning of worship. And Lord, as we prepare to leave, I pray a blessing over all of us in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that we'll be faithful to not only be blessed, but Lord, that we will be faithful to be a blessing. And God, that extends. We are children of Abraham today. May we not only receive his blessing, but want to pass that to others, Gentile and Jew alike, Lord, that are found in you, Jesus, as one. Lord, help us to be a blessing, we pray, in every way in our lives. And if that's your desire today, would you say amen? Amen. We'll see you tonight. Have a great day. God bless you as you go today.